with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest is come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? What parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the last couple of days, Jesus has been describing for us growth in the spiritual life. On Wednesday, he gave us the great parable of the sower and the seed, and how the Lord wants us to have that good soil that will bear not just a little fruit, but manifold fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. In order for that to happen, we need to get past the stubbornness. We need to get past those subterranean rocky limestone layers. We need to recognize that the thorns are there which will grow, choke the growth of the seed. But the Lord will give us exactly what we need so that we can bear the type of fruit that he's asking for. That's the receptivity that his mercy will grant us, provided that we cooperate with it and allow him to do the work of taking away the thorns, drilling through that limestone and shaking up that hardened soil trampled by life. Likewise, yesterday Jesus talked to us about what's supposed to happen when we receive his word on fruitful, good soil. It'll be like a lamp that will be able to illumine so many other people. That he asks us to take care of it, which means not only attentively to listen to the words that he says, but then also to treasure them. And when we do, when we're really treasuring them, we recognize it's a treasure to be given. And the measure we give out will be the measure by which the Lord will continue to be able to give it growth. Today, he teaches us two more lessons about growth in the spiritual life. The first is with this seed scattered on the land. What Jesus is trying to teach us here is that it's not fundamentally the work of the farmer that makes the seed grow. It's fundamentally the work of God. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. When the grain is ripe, that ripeness happens because of the reign of the Lord, because of the Son of the Lord, because of all the gifts of the Lord. And the seed grows, the farmer knows not how. For the spiritual growth that the Lord wants to see in us, we've got to allow him to do his work. We don't have to figure out. We don't have to control the process. We don't have to grasp in all its intricacies how the growth happens. We just need to open ourselves up to the Son of Justice and to the rain that comes that the Lord provides for that growth to happen. The only thing we're interested in at the beginning is the type of receptivity, the type of soil. Second thing Jesus teaches us is it can start in the least way. It can start so small, but then like this mustard seed, it can really grow so that so many others are able to come and receive shade in the branches of our faith. And some of the times the Lord does start very small, but when we receive a mustard seed on good soil, it can become that huge shrub. While God is doing all of this, we do recognize from the parables he's going to give us a little bit later that there's another sower out there who's sowing darnel. He's sowing stuff that's trying to compete against the growth that the Lord wants. And in today's first reading, we see the seed of lust and how absolutely destructive it is. David was having an easy day taking a late afternoon siesta. Wasn't really working very hard. Went up on his balcony, not really to look at the sunset, but to see what else was going on. There he sees Bathsheba bathing, obviously naked. There weren't bathing suits in the ancient world. And he began to lust after her. Rather than turning aside, he sent for her, and she came. It was first the sin of the eyes, then it became a sin of the flesh. And once she was pregnant, it led to the sin of murder. And not just the murder of a stranger, the murder of his armor bearer, which is very important. It's kind of like the people who inspect planes before the pilots get on. This is what's supposed to protect him against the darts and everything else. So a man already in his trust and confidence, but who, when he was called home because of the culture at the time in which soldiers would never have relations during battle because it would be a distraction for them, and at a physical level it was considered that it would weaken them for the fight if they were being softened by love. He refused, even though he was basically given the green light to go right next door to be with his wife. He showed himself to be a man of incredible integrity. And precisely because of that integrity, David wrote the letter that got Uriah murdered. Murdered by the opposing soldiers after David's next betrayal in a series of betrayals, which he was on the front line and then just abandoned there. Something that the former David would have never ever thought to do. But that was the blinding of the lust. It had started as a little seed of indolence walking on a rooftop. And then it became adultery of the eyes, became adultery of the flesh. And then it became the sin of the sixth commandment led to a sin against the fifth. And an atrocious one at that. How do we combine these two? The growth that the Lord wants to do and the growth that the enemy of the Lord wants to produce. We see as we near the end of this year of consecrated life the importance of the evangelical councils. The Lord wants to sow the gifts of chastity, of obedience, and of poverty. And the devil wants to sow lust, individualism, exaggerated desire for autonomy, and materialism. And that's what's competing for the soil. We see how useful it would have been in the scene. Chastity, Jesus will describe in the gospel the importance of our eyes, saying the eye is the lamp of the soul. And if the eye is dark, how great will that darkness be? Chastity is united to purity to be able to see God in others, and how much our world needs that gift. And the world is able to have confidence in the gift because there are people who are living in perfect continent chastity. If we can live this for our entire life, they can live it as well. Likewise, with regard to obedience, it was quite clear what God had commanded David, but David was going to do things his way. A little bit his authority had gone to his head. He could just send for a woman and induce her to adultery, rather than remembering from whom he had gotten his authority. But the virtue of obedience is one which we learn how to say, "Thy will be done," in which we are able to imitate Jesus in accepting out of obedience even death, death on a cross, the crucifixion some of the times of our desires. How much obedience is needed in a world in which people want to do exactly what God says we should never do. And also poverty, the importance of poverty. Why did Bathsheba consent? We don't know for certain. It doesn't really talk about the whole scene from Bathsheba's perspective. But could it have been the fact that she in her circumstances was just blown away by coming into the presence of the king, by getting noticed in that way, that certain of her own sort of desires to be rich in affection or rich in the things of the world may have been able to be manipulated, and David was able to play on in. She was probably not seduced by his capacity to play the harp or his stories of how he battled the lion or battled Goliath of Gath. And David himself wasn't capable of dealing with the minimal poverty of saying, someone is not my wife, and I am able to live happily without taking somebody else's ewe lamb when I have my whole sheepfold. Poverty, chastity, and obedience are so important in the midst of the world, and the Lord is sowing us with those virtues in the midst of the world. We might feel outnumbered, we might feel overwhelmed, but he reminds us today that he will give the growth, and even if it seems the size of a mustard seed compared to all the rest of the things that's growing, he can give it the growth so that so many others are going to be able to find solace in our branches. We thank him for those gifts. But we also thank him, likewise, for our failures to live it as well as he himself might want us to live it. You know, it's worth thinking about quite a bit. The great good that the Lord brought from David's abominations, it was because he committed this triple sin. It was because of the death of Uriah and his calling for Bathsheba. It was because of that relationship. Again, the child that was conceived in this act of adultery would die. But the child that Bathsheba would conceive afterward would be Jesus Christ's 27th generation grandfather, Solomon. The Lord, who seeks always to bring good out of evil, whose mercy always triumphs over human misery, was able to bring the greatest good of all through the impact of these sins. Likewise, the Lord wants to draw similar good out of our own sins. But some of the times, the death that comes through the repentance we have, like David's repentance, that can become the detritus, that can become the dead matter, which can become fertilizer for the growth of the true seed. So we come forward here today to allow Jesus to implant himself in us. Even though the host is physically small, if it hits good soil, he can become all in all. Let us allow the Lord today to give us that growth. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.